Is that a hamster in your picture?
Yes, a hamster with a pancake on its head.
Right. Oh, that looks like a wee hat, isn't it? That's one.
It's a hamster or a rabbit. I went onto a website and there was a file I learned it was currently down in that picture. It goes, your file is not here, but here's a picture of a thing with a pancake on its head. I was like, that's amusing, I'll keep hold of that.
Oh, it looks cool, isn't it?
Okay, let's go on. Welcome back to another episode of Retro Resistance. Can't remember what number it is, but we're doing well as far as I'm concerned. And today we have a special guest star to join in me, ZXPEC star. We have fellow reviewer from YouTube, we have Spinny Fuck.
Hi, this is Spinny. I'll miss you the last part, and it's good to be on the show, and thanks for having me on.
No problems. Thank you for joining us here. Like I say, I think you're the first of the Retro Resistance guests on our show. We hope to have more in the future, but thank you for being our first on here. Now, as I said, boy, you're here today because, for one, I love your videos, mate.
Oh, you're too kind. Some of them are a lot of rubbish, but I do my bit.
Yeah, but you're here to entertain and to basically show the people as well what the gaming was like back in the 80s as well, when we had the ZX Spectrum and all the 8-bit systems, aren't you?
That's my main thing. I don't know anything major about other systems, so it was my main thing, and it gave me a laugh, and it was a great experience playing the games. So that's what it brought to me, and I want to share that with people.
Yeah, I don't blame you, because the Spectrum was also some of my major scale memories as well, for when I was growing up. And I was like, can you remember what your first Spectrum machine was?
It was no my machine. It was my mate's one. It was a 48K plus.
So you never got to tinker around with things like the ZX80 or the ZX81.
Oh no, I didn't care. Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, carry on.
Before that, all I knew was Atari 2600, and it was the basic games like Pong, Jet Fighter, Tanks, Night Driver. And that was it. That was in
Balloon.
Circus Balloon or whatever it was called. It was a long time ago.
was very long. And the very, very bad version of Pac-Man, which I reviewed as well.
And chess.
On a 2600, you make you wonder how they could even get that wrong.
Well, I've done plenty of versions of chess to Spectrum. A bit better than that. It could beat the chess in 3 moves in Atari 2600.
we'll move into the Spectrum era again, because that's your comfort zone, isn't it?
Yes.
can you remember where you first got hold of your first Spectrum that was personally yours?
It was 1987, and there was an advert in the paper. It was £10 advertised up here. I'm not going to say where I am. You'll guess where I am. And it was with 4 games, so I went up, and it was like this 10-year-old guy. I was like 27 actually. And I felt embarrassed going into this big posh house, because he wanted to get another system. And I goes, can you load a game up? And I got these 4 games. I got Jet Set Willy, I got 180 Darts, I got Horizons, and I got Curse of Sherwood. And the Curse of Sherwood is a bloody classic game. It's a budget game, $1.99. Great graphics. It's very reminiscent of Ultimate games. And, my mate took time off college to play that because he loved it. It's a great game. It's hard when you're going through the swamps and all that. But once you get through the swamps, you don't know what you're going to hit. But it's hard there as well. but you could die there. But oh, a classic game, Curse of Sherwood, and people slag Master Tronicut, but they come up with some classic games.
I definitely agree with you on that one, because there's Mastertronic was one of the most underrated software labels for the Spectrum era, if I do say so. And like I said, I'm trying to remember myself a few of them, their ones. It's hard because, like I say, because they never were in the big limelight as what some of the other companies were. But I think they shared the same sort of affinity as what Codemasters did. They wrote the smaller games, but they...
Sorry.
Like I said, they wrote the smaller games, but they made the money off it. So,
but they gave people an opportunity that didn't have much money to buy a decent game. Well, some of the time, Rent a Kill Rita, that was a good cheapo for Mastertronic. Solar Robot, hard game, but graphically all the same, but it was a good game and it was quite addictive. And Codemasters, I better not talk about them now.
that's okay. And you also got was a Jet Set Willy with it as well, didn't you?
Yes. No.
you're not a fan of Jet Set Willy, are you?
No, it's awful game. It's a lot more difficult than Manic Miner, and it's free wander. And I mean, I didn't like it at all. And the ropes are awful. It's hard to judge that you can climb up them and you can't jump off them. It's very difficult. And I mean, I spoke about this before. It's Matthew Smith didn't have the time to do it properly, and it was pressurized. And if you watch a few documentaries about it on YouTube, you'll find out what it's about. I didn't like that. I mean, he should have been left alone. He should have just done it in his own bedroom, Jet Set Willy, to be honest.
Well, that's alongside. That's what basically the mainline of the Spectrum stay were. They were all bedroom programmers, weren't they? It was back in the day where people really showed off their talent for programming the machine.
That's it, and that's where the talent come from originally. Well, it was always there, but the big industry always took them and sucked them up. The big industry will always control everything from the top, and it's wrong. It's all about distribution. You'll know, and they can mass produce things, and that's the thing which I hate. I've tried selling some of my stuff, but it doesn't work out because you don't got the promotion or all that. The people believe in the promotion; they'll buy anything. Do you know what I mean? And that's, they'll suck people's talent and make money, and they'll make money and make contracts and take their talent off them. So that's what it's basically about.
It is. So when you had your own little 48K Spectrum and you was sitting there, were you always impressed with what the Spectrum could do, especially when it came to a time when the Commodore 64 was about as well?
Well, I don't know anything about the Commodore 64 because I was older. I wasn't out of school and all that. But I used to get the pirate tapes like a guy from my brother's mate. He was at secondary school and all that. He used to get the pirate tapes and all that. So we relied on that. We didn't have much money at the time. So he got all these games for us. And my wee 48K, I got that. I relied on my mate's one, the 48K Plus, for 2 years. Then I got my 48 rubber key for £10 with the four games. So that done me a wee bit.
Well, what did you prefer? Did you prefer the old rubber key 48 or that horrible clunky Plus version?
It's actually the clunky 48 Plus.
You actually
like
that one better?
Aye, I did, because it lasted a bit longer. Well, not much longer. The membrane used to go all the time.
Yeah, it was. I always did like the 48, the old rubber one myself. I just think there was a nice charm to that one with it being the rubber keys. a long time ago. And then eventually, did you have any of the other these Spectrum machines as time went by, things like the Plus 2 or the Plus 3?
Well, I've got my 48K rubber key, right? I've still got it, but it needs a membrane changer. There's some of the keys that need work. And I've got my Plus 3. I didn't have the 128 case with the tape loaders and all that. I just went straight for the 48K rubber key onto the Plus 3. But that's a story if you want to listen to. I said, at the time, I was still playing my rubber key, and I joined up with the college for a year course and all that. We said a computer course, programming involved, obviously. So I had to wait in my bursary, yeah, and it took about 4 months to come through. And so I got like £500, and I seen because I was at college, I was a programmer on computer disks and all that. You can't do that in the 48K, obviously. So I thought,
not a waste.
£500, and at the time, the Plus 3 was getting advertised, 1988. So I thought, £500, it was £299, so I just thought, fuck it, I'll go out and buy the Plus 3, and it will help me with my course and all that. Obviously, it didn't, it, but it got me programming a few games on the Spectrum. Kind of, the college was a different language. It got me in there. Now I've written a few things in it. They're all on basic, like, but one of them's up in the World of Spectrum for free.
Well, that,
check out my crap.
Well, if you can remember where it is, we'll see if we can post a link underneath here, and so you can actually get a link onto Spinny's game here, so you can give it a try out for yourself on that one from World of Spectrum. Now that's one thing I always wanted to ask you, because after I watched your version of the Cascade 50 review, I saw you when you was going through the Star Trek game, being able to go through the listing and find it. So you actually did learn how to program on the Spectrum in any form.
That's the thing. My mate he was more prolific than me. I'm not saying he was like turning out tons of programs than me, but he has. I've got them on my discs. I've met him since. I've not seen him for years, but I met him last year. And I don't know what to say where he works, because I'm not going to embarrass him. But I was asking him about is it okay if he chucked all his Spectrum stuff there. I couldn't believe it.
That's a shame.
Everything, his discs, his tapes, his Plus 3 and everything. And I says it's because I've still got his stuff, because we used to put them on disc together and share them and that. I says it's all okay if I send them to World Spectrum. He goes, that's no bother and that. So I've still got to do that. So I'll do that. And he was some things in the program he couldn't get around. Not much. Like, he was wanting a few lines in it. I wanted to do that, so I would debug it. Well, it's no debugging it. He's wanting to do something that he wasn't doing it. So I would do that for him, and I would draw like screens for him and all that, with the Artist Studio 2, I think it was. The guy that done Fairlight programs, he used that. I've got it. It's the thing with the mouse, I can't remember. The over here, he's still there.
Is that
too late for you in the Spectrum, is it?
No, that's fine. So you do know how to program this one. Did you ever try programming machine code or anything that's advanced?
I just forgot, because it's just double Dutch to me.
Do you remember the magazine that came out called Input Magazine? I think
I might have seen it on the shelf, sir, but I've been looking at other stuff, magazine-wise, and there's some amazing stuff. I mean, if you're going to be making videos, there'd be a load of videos to make for these magazines, either tapes or discs on them and that. And they're very interesting, eh?
Because I did remember seeing some, because I'd never learned to program the Spectrum myself. I always wanted to play the games, but I was very young at the time and I just couldn't be bothered. It was immediately like, come home, turn my Spectrum on. You go learn the program basic? No, fuck off. It's simple as. But from what I remember, when I looked at Input Magazine, it was actually a pretty good guide to learn how to program basic. It was pretty self-explanatory on what they were doing there, so it was all good. Okay, so let's move on. So you had a nice experience with the Spectrum. So you was on both the 48K and the 128K of the.
Well, the plus three, not the 48K. The 128K. Plus three is a different machine.
But see, the one thing I actually saw a lot of people actually knocked the plus three machine. I've seen a lot of people who sit there and they don't really pass very good. What was your own opinion on the plus three machine in itself?
Plus three is the sound comes at the telly, right? I don't know about the tape versions, so I've never played them, but some people seem to complain about it. It sounds a bit distorted, especially on Dizzy games and all that. But I didn't mind it. I just sit there, put the Dizzy games on the box collection, just sit listening to music for half an hour now.
I don't mind. The Spectrum was able to produce some quality tunes, but alongside questions go from my head.
Well, we're just going on our subject and come back to
it. Yeah, that's it. Like I say, was you surprised when Amstrad took Sinclair over, basically, as well?
What? Oh, right, aye. That was a total rip-off, and I mean, it was like a political move, and it was like Labour Tory, Sinclair, Amstrad. Right, it was a Labour Tory, it's like your government, it's like the lean on each other. It's just a bloody con. Honestly, because Alan Sugar had redundant parts lying in his warehouse that he couldn't get ready, so he shoved them into the plus three and all that. So that was so many compatibility problems with early software for Spectrum.
That's what I remember. When you look on some of the games that come at the time, they said value for Spectrum plus two and plus 2A, the Amstrad ones, and some of them weren't compatible with each other, were they?
Aye, and to get around it, the ultimate games, they wouldn't fucking load to the way you're trying to get them on the disc and all that. You had to buy a multi-phase 3, right, to get them on the disc, right, and you had to save them for the multi-phase 3 on the tape, then reload the tape that you saved back into the multi-phase, then save on the disc. It was a fucking farce. The guy was a chancellor at that, Alan Sugar.
Did it always ever wonder you why there were so many different joysticks as well for the Spectrum?
Joystick, I wasn't a joystick fan. I got one free with my plus three and it broke within a couple of weeks, right? So I was never into that. I was a keyboard man.
So when you was playing games like Hyper Sports, your keyboard got wrecked, basically.
Well, the plus three's a sturdy keyboard, you'll not like that. I've stood on it, and it's all dented in, but it still works.
Still works.
It's sturdy, it's got proper keys.
Is it this Spectrum has been approved by Spinny's Boot?
Aye, it has, aye.
Oh, it's all good.
But the rubber key, the 48K plus Daily Thompson, oh fuck your keyboard, just make sure you constantly change the keys that you're hammering away at it, and it'll last a wee bit longer than they use the same keys all the time.
Or perhaps the next time you're trying to put a program in, you're going to be fucked, basically, alongside. Yeah,
just make... Well, that's what I made the mistake with, 48 rubber key. I hammer away at Jakey.
And then you
know what?
Oh, we all make mistakes. One last thing on the album. What's your impressions of Sir Clive Sinclair?
Yeah. I better not say anything. Huh?
No, it's okay. No, go, feel free.
No.
Okay, well, all you can say is if you look at his missus or girlfriend, it's about half his age. Actually, I think he's about a third of his age, the bastard.
Right, can I see Sir Dylan?
Yeah, you can. You're free to say it.
Sir Dylan, Egyptian bloodline.
Oh, that's good enough.
Well, right, that's my opinion. Okay, don't like it. Tough.
Oh, that's good. That's good, mate. Okay, let's get on to what your favourite was for the games. Now, what would you consider as some of your all time favourite games, for the Spectrum?
Right.
Out of any degree of Spectrum.
The first thing that comes to my mind is Night Lord.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people hate that, right? Because it was difficult with the keys, eh? And even I found it difficult. But the puzzles as well. I mean, I had to practice for ages. It's got like you clockwise, anti-clockwise, turning the keys. But it's just patience with that, eh?
Mm. And it's games like that when you sit there, and in time you do get good with it, and then you can do things easily like that, and then it does become second nature to you alongside.
Well, it does, but I know a lot of people want the instant gratification, just walking along a platform or something, and they gave up on that, and they never realised the greatness of that game. It's an absolute classic.
What else is great on your list?
Spy versus Spy.
Yes, I definitely remember that one. But only the first one.
The first one. The others are just forgettable. It was so ingenious. It had never been done. I mean, that's what I go into. Like, things that have never been done in Spectrum, they're original. It worked as a... It was in a cartoon and a paper, and it worked.
Mm.
They've done a great job. I mean, the way... Especially... It's hard if you're playing the computer. Very hard. But if you play with your mate, you can have a great laugh. The way you can rebound, if you set a trap like a spring at a door, you can go through six screens and watch it happening. It's really great fun. Very original. What else? What was the question?
some of your favourite personal games. What about platform wise?
Early games, Manic Miner.
Of course.
aye. Everybody played that, but that was absolutely amazing. But it was. Do you remember the? What was it called? The landing pad. What was it there?
Was it the last one, the solar power generator or something like that?
I hate that, right. Again, that. But the landing pad with the guys with the parachutes come down, that's a bit mid level. That's a horrible screen. It was very hard to judge that.
But what I found with games like that is the pixel perfection you need to do things alongside like that. It's something that's been lost in even in today's gaming era and things like this. That sort of perfection and also that sort of difficulty has just vanished.
Well, apart from picking up a gun and just firing, what's it? COD? What's that?
Oh, Call of Duty, yeah.
Every game looks the same. I mean, I don't play games like that, but I'm getting off the topic.
No, that's fine.
No, but it's every what was there, four of them or something? And it's just mindless shooting. You can't beat a wee bit of, a wee bit no closer to the platform and make it count.
Mm. And that's what always was the appeal to that game. And I actually had a friend, and he actually told me, so, oh, I'm a hardcore gamer. And I gave him a copy of Jet Set Willy, and he came back crying.
No, I'm not surprised.
That one.
So I think we all did.
Yeah, with that one. I said, you cannot call yourself a hardcore gamer until you have finished that game. that's when it goes down.
Even Matthew Smith must have been crying after releasing that to the big bosses. That was sad. He went big industry with that game.
Yeah, I reckon.
I mean, it's a lot to talk about, even on that game. Besides the game,
but like I say, if he would have kept that in the bedroom, things like that would have turned out being a great game alongside that one. But like I say, what about racing wise? Was there any racing games on the Spectrum?
Aye, racing games. One thing that really stunned me, see that Chase HQ,
yeah,
the tunnel, because that had never been done before. See, when I first went through that tunnel, I thought, fuck's sake, it's amazing. I mean, scratching off the sides and all that, and the speed of it as well.
Mm. And when you look to think, because I recently did the review on that Buggy Boy, and that looked awful. That really, really did. Because everything just looks so close to you, and you're like, thinking, how am I supposed to be dodging this in any shape, way, or form? But no, Chase HQ is definitely one of the most prized and more spoken of the Spectrum games, especially when it comes around to that. Also for the music as well. what other games really stood out to you that you think really showed what the Spectrum could do?
What are you talking about? And just in general?
Just in general.
Yeah. It was late the year, so I've seen them coming in over the years. Right, I'll go back to 85, right? It's 85 or 86. It was Highway Encounter, because I used to go into the boots and all that and see them on the monitors. Before that, I used to go and type in fuck off, put a book in to disable the brake key and type fuck off and make it flash, right? No, right, let's get back on with what we're done. Right. But they used to see the guys, you couldn't get near the monitors, and they'd be hogging the keyboard and playing the new games. Highway Encounter, classic. It was like you had the classic games each year, that stood out, and they were going to define that year, which was sometimes horrible. But Highway Encounter was never repeated, well, apart from that horrible follower, but I'm talking about Bobby Bearing, and then you had all that following, and it was like a pattern now, like platform games. But there were some standouts, so I used to watch Operation Wolf and all that, and then you got all the things. But as far as I'm concerned, Highway Encounter was an absolute classic that still stands out to this day.
Well, talking to Operation Wolf, did you ever have the Spectrum gun?
No. I couldn't afford it. I was on the dole, man.
I remember a friend of mine, he actually had just got a brand new Plus 2, and they actually came with the gun. And he actually got Operation Wolf, and that thing couldn't hit shit. Pig's ass with a shovel, we really couldn't.
Well, he's probably getting cancer off the fucking hanger.
But what other games do you think stood out?
Well, over the 80s.
Yeah, over the, over the 90s.
90s. Right, each year, right. Bobby Baring was a good gamer.
Yeah,
then
I agree.
Got these shit games like Marble Madness. They were terrible. But as it went on, I didn't go into the Boots of Chemist or Regenesis as much, but so I was relying, there was no pirates at the time, so I was relying on when the Crash magazine that started off slowly with the cover tapes. Now you get one game and a demo or something on the other side, then it built up, and then I was buying the whole three mags.
Did you have a favourite to which magazine you liked reading?
The oh, time? It's a Crash, because it was more colourful when it was a wee bit more intelligent for me. The other ones were too childish.
No, I found Crash was the better one. It seemed to try to be more on the level with the people and alongside.
They gave you better games at the end. I mean, it started slowing. You can't, that was the end of the spectrum. See, when I started putting like one game on a magazine,
yeah,
you can't, that was a downfall.
Especially if the game you got was a duffer, and you just said it's like, oh,
but you was got like when it was four tapes, that would keep going for a month till the next magazine.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But there'll be a lot of shite in it, but you get an occasional no bad game.
I remember once they actually gave Sidearms away for free, if I remember rightly. And that wasn't a bad little shoot. And I was actually surprised that they actually gave that away, because that was a Capcom license as well.
Sidewinder?
Sidearms.
Oh, that's a horrible game. I've put a walkthrough up there. But fucking, it's hard to get pokes for it, because it's a horrible game. I hate it.
Oh. Well, what's some of your worst case games of ones that really should have been put down during production?
How many do I have to name?
Well, pick some of your favourites.
Fucking hell. Right. I can't think of any that would. Because most of my games were pirates, right? So, but any games that I bought secondhand, I knew what I was picking. But Cassette 50, I bought that originally, right? Well, not originally. So, but I bought it secondhand, and I spent like half an afternoon going through them all and that. And till I'd done the review, I thought it wasn't that bad, but it's even worse than I thought.
Because both me and you, we went over the Cassette 50 for our Christmas area, didn't we? For things like that. And I'm just, the quality of those games was just absolute shit. And I seriously don't know how they got away with that one. And I think I must have put about 14, 15 hours time into creating my video. And yours is a lot longer than mine.
Fucking, it's fucking painful. It took me fucking hours. Oh, no, I just like to do my videos straight off. I didn't redo them, but it's just painful. I've got to do this one again. Not again, but I've got to get through all these parts. Because it's painful to do the 15-minute limit, huh?
Yeah, and then when I sat there, it's like it was when you see some of those games, you just cringe, don't you? It's like, I think there was one which was basically, I can't think, it's called Astro, or something, and it's basically like something that resembles a ship and two dots, a big one and a small one, and they're just spinning around. It's like, what the fuck is this? I have no idea what this is. What do I do?
I think that was it's a con, because most of the screens are yellow and I've got that intro right. I don't think they've had 50 people applying to send in games. I think it was an absolute con. And I should look into that.
But yeah, definitely,
because there's something wrong with it. I'm not deaf, but so as far as that concerned, that was a nightmare. Have you got the watch, by the way?
We're running 40 minutes already, mate. So
No, I'm talking about the watch for...
Oh, but that was... no, because I didn't get my Cascade for Cassette 50 through the thing. I got it as a present from somebody. And I give you the truth, honestly, I think he fucking hated me. On that one. But the Cassette 50... there was actually one guy who actually spoke about the game he put on there. And like I said in my video, he turned around and they paid him a tenner for it. And he said, I just spent it on more games. And then short line down the line, he gave the game to his son to play. And even his son told him it was crap. So,
well, just get, let your dad do promotion for your shitty game or not.
Oh, it's all good. Is there any others that you can think of that was... particularly extremely bad?
Oh, there's plenty, but I didn't go into them because, well, I've not played them for years. There was actually some good compilation tapes there. There's one that's got 100 on it. It's got Rupert and the Ice Castle. I mean, that's a shitty game, but it's got quality, a bit of quality, yeah.
I had that one. Now that you actually mentioned Rupert and the Ice Castle, I can't remember what that one was called.
Aye, I've got them all. There's 10 tapes in it, so like nearly 100 games in it. And I was saying I was going to do it, but it's a big project. I've got them all second hand, they're all loose. I've got them for about £1 for the whole 10 tapes and all that.
Are you always sniffing for a bargain whenever there's like a big sale?
Well, no, now, but that was years ago. No, I'm trying to survive with food and all that.
We're going around, so yeah, we can probably both agree that the Cassette 50 is possibly the worst thing that they ever did.
That is, it's a major disappointment, spending half an afternoon loading up.
And the mental scar and it leaves after you play all that. I still don't think I've recovered from Christmas, personally.
Well, I'll never be loading that up again. I mean, even worse, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's just terrible. Well, as we're moving on, let's move on as well, because we all hear about how great Codemasters were. Alongside that, do you share? I can always tell you don't share the same view of Codemasters.
Yeah. Right, okay, go ahead.
Go. What was your independent view on Codemasters?
Codemasters, I'll go with the programmers, I didn't go with the company. Right, brilliant. Dizzy Games, right? I didn't come into contact with Dizzy till I got a 3-in-1 of the mags. The first Dizzy game.
Yeah, and that was I think it was the Yours Sinclair Special Edition, I think it was.
I don't have it in front of me. And I couldn't see that bit where you go through the right-hand side and the grass just disappears and you get the bones and all that.
Yeah, I kind of gave up.
I didn't have a clue what to do, so I kind of gave up. And it was only through hints and tips in the mags. I got really into Dizzy after that. You need a few tips in that because it's like you've got to pick up things to protect you for the rain and the birds and all that. So I got into that. And then I got a few years later, I got the collection with Treasure Island Dizzy, and I loved that. It's a fucking classic game. Because it's got the sea and the two islands. Love that. The best Dizzy. Well, it's one of my favourites. There's another one that was on that. It was never released. It's on the collection. I can't remember what it's called at the moment. Failure of brain.
what about the non-adventure type games like Fast Food or Quick Snacks? Did you find any of them entertaining or not?
No. I didn't like them. I liked the arcade adventures. They were puts a bit of thought in my head and all that. And I've worked out how you get past this and that. They were just random. Just get past that, and just work out how you do it. And I don't like the kind of games.
It goes back in time, doesn't it? Because like, it's basically like a move on from the old sort of typing adventures, isn't it? Because I remember the old typing adventures. They used to drive me crazy in this one. They were just so, to me, they were just so daft. It's, I was like, go east. What now? I think about the only...
Go east, go. Fuck yourself.
Yeah, and always come back. I do not know how to fuck myself. Something like that. But I think the one called Urban Upstart was possibly going.
Oh, that was a classic early adventure game. Very difficult, huh?
I never finished it. I think I must have about... When I look back a short time ago at a solution to it and realised that even for all the time I spent, I'd only got about an eighth of the way through the adventure and not got anywhere more. Also the Gremlins one as well. I found
that was a nightmare. Gremlins, the syntax, and it was so complex. You had to type in put. it's pretty... What was it? You had to solder the panel to pipe on all this. That was really difficult. That
one was difficult, but I will get for it. It had a good graphical achievement to that one.
And it was nice to look at and all that. It was a nice achievement. Put the gizmo on the dartboard.
Oh, that's always been fun. Good memories.
Bit of humour in it and that.
I think the other one was the Incredible Hulk one as well. And we start chained to the chair, and you're like sitting there, it's like, how are we going to get out? You just try everything, and you realise you've got to bite your lip to make him angry and break the chain. Took me about a week to realise that. And even then, I found that in a magazine.
Well, I've never played that one.
maybe worth a look on that one then. Was there any graphical adventures like that you can remember being a bit standouts to the others?
Like The Hobbit, but... The first one is two versions of The Hobbit. Very difficult adventure. Especially when you get trapped in the dungeon, the Goblin's Dungeon. Try to work that out. It's a nightmare. See, Thorin, pick me up. See, Thorin, open window. And I mean, how is anybody meant to work that out? You know what I mean?
It makes you wonder how they actually made any sort of money on those games.
But the first version was full of bugs. So you get to the bewitched place, and it would just crash.
Oh, that's no good.
Version 1.2. That's the one you want to play if you're doing it for World of Spectrum. It's bug free, and you can actually complete the game. There's various different methods of completing the game as well, so it's if you're interested in that, it's quite interesting.
It's always worth it. What about the 3D isometric games?
Continue.
Games like Movie, and the ones along that, and things like the original Batman, 3D isometric sort of ones. And was there any of those? And the one that you mentioned before as well is When Time Stood Still.
Where Time Still's a later game. So let's go back a bit for Movie and Batman. So all that influence comes from Night Lore, obviously. So I'm not talking about that. So that was our follow on. Where Time Stood Still was later, so we'll go to Movie. It was a nice idea, but it's such a boring game, and you've got like the two women, one of them's a baddie, one of them's a goodie, so you didn't ken which one is a goodie and a baddie, so you end up following somebody around that's kind of leading you to solve the problem, and you end up following the baddie, huh? But you've got to ask these questions, and it's so slow it won't answer you. The passwords and all this, I hate that game. And even at the end, but it's not even a nice resolution. Congratulations gives you a nice screen or that. It's horrible. I hate it, movie. It's nice, but it's a square guy. It looks horrible now.
It's a good idea, but just poorly executed.
Yeah.
Well, the one I remember is The Great Escape.
Oh, fuck. I knew you were going to talk about this. This is where where Time Stewed still came from.
Yeah. In
the past, right? Absolutely classic game. I mean, this is you're trapped, right? And it's got a you can't get out of the situation, and it sums up the. Well, I've never been in a prisoner of war camp, but I'll be there shortly. But a few more camps, but it sums it up. It's so mundane and boring, day to day routine. You try and escape for a second and you get pulled up and put in a slammer. So you've got to work it out. And it's so intense in the atmosphere. And even if you go out at night, you get the...
You got the searchlights going around the area.
And you've got to go back in to your bed. The tunnel, it's well executed. It's a good example. Intenseness. That's an amazing game for 1986.
Then I think they finally came crop when they did when Time Stood Still, didn't they? They hit the jackpot with that one, because that's probably one of the most celebrated isometrics of them all.
Well, I don't know if it's the most celebrated. I think it was. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's been rated that highly. Maybe later on, but no, at the time, I didn't see myself. I mean, the time that I had the 48K, I thought they would do it as a multiplay.
Now, that would have been good for the time for a 48K game, wouldn't it, for the Spectrum? Because that would definitely be unique for the time.
It would have been good if we'd done it like a three-parter, eh? And a 48K, but I was really disappointed. I had to wait a year later to get it on my +3, on disc.
It's a shame they leave it for such a long time. And you think it's like, oh, come on, guys, it's not exactly hard to transpose it onto disc, isn't it? You're just being retarded. I say, is there any games what you miss and you'd love to see them kind of remake them, keep them as they were, but just remake them in with some new graphics? Is there any games like that you'd like to see?
No, because I like my Spectrum stuff.
you like keep it as its original format. As far
right,
as
I'm just gonna have a joke now. Like feel the edge. just remake that and see if you get on.
Oh, it's either that or if someone's going to do it, it's like was it the review I did on that one called Squidge or something like that? It's like yeah, how about programming the game properly so people can play the fucking thing?
just make George Bush's fucking head and fucking reprogram that.
Oh, that definitely sounds like a case. Is there any music tracks to games on Spectrum that you like or you find very memorable?
Have you got a list?
Yeah, I'm going. Three
prepared questions.
No, these are coming straight off the top of my head.
You have no Batman 128K, the Ocean, the original one.
Mm-hmm.
Aye, that's a good track. It just bumps in with it, starts with the the beat and the bass comes in and all that and the drums. Tim Follin, any of his stuff, was Raw Recruit. It's not a game that's well known. Well, I didn't think it's well known because I've not got it. Anything but Tim Ghouls and Ghosts. Classic track that. Fucking that. I'll get your feet tapping. Maybe. Some Spectrum beeps for 1982.
I do like it. I did think the Midnight Resistance tune they did there was a very, very good, adaptation for the arcade, and one which a lot of people turned around and said, no, there was no way they could have done this, but they matched it. I think with the good old Specky, that they surprised a lot of people with some games in just how good they were able to do it. One of the things that since I've been replaying these games a long time ago, and I don't know if you agree with me, but I find the older games, when you look at things like Jet Set Willy and other things like Dynamite Dan, some of the old style platformers ones, their graphics to me just seem to be that little better than some of the more modern Spectrum ones, where they're trying to create all the complex sceneries behind it or things like this. I just enjoyed the simplicity of the basic black background, and that enabled to do really nice big sprites to play around with in the areas. So I just found myself really appreciating those simplicity. And also, and I still think even on today, some of them games still look really, really good. And I say, what do you reckon is the game that still stands out today to you as still looking visually impressive?
As you say, like Dynamite Dan, I mean, classic graphics, black background. You can't go wrong with a black background there. And Dizzy Games used that as well to their advantage. And especially with the nice, I kind of colour clash, but we didn't notice that anyway. Fuck
no, we love our colour clash.
Yes, no, if you've not got colour clash, it's not Spectrum. Fuck them.
I think that's when you look at our type. It's like, look at the graphical achievements in this game. Yes, the game's fantastic. Where's my fucking colour clash?
Our type was amazing, man, on the spec. Yeah.
It was. Is there any of the arcade machines that you think got a really good conversion? Bar R-Type.
Arcade machines are... I never hardly played them, eh? It'd be like... In the pub, it'd be like Outrun. I was shite at that. And that'd be like... once a font here. Or what's that? That Daley Thompson thing.
Oh, that Track and Field, wasn't it?
Aye, that one, aye. I couldn't get past the pole vault.
Oh, that was
event, ah, fucking shite at that. All right, up to it. But that was about it. I had Space Invaders and it was just like trying to do these cash machines, the questions and all that. It was like LED runner, who wants to be a millionaire and all that. And it used to rip me off and the bugs and the answers. And
oh, it's all too good. All too good for that one. is there any other arcade games that you really enjoyed if the fair came to town or anything like that?
Well, it was ages ago. I was not an arcade fan because we didn't have money. It would be like Submarine for the 1970s, if that's what it's still called.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
And that bloody racer thing for 1960s. It was that thing that drives over the top of the cars. It was like a mechanical thing.
I remember seeing one of those before. Mm. They kind of scaled them down into like kids' toys about 10 years ago. But that reminds me of all back in the days. It's like we didn't really have the handheld games. We had those little LCD games, didn't we? sitting there, as I said, they're just going left and right to dodge the cars. And I think it's like, what, they used to charge like 10, 15 quid for those things back then. And it's just like, wow, that's scary. I think one of the other funniest times of sitting there is like, when you look today, is like when you go by when you go buy your computer games, you're going to games, you go to specialised shops. And like you said before, when you're buying games back in our times, you're going into Boots and you look at that now, they're like, that's a bloody chemist.
No, they're not chemists, they're eugenicists.
But it just goes to show the change with the time in who
not
sells games.
Changes really, yeah, but the sheep will always be right up this shop. Right, go on, man, go on.
Oh, let's see. Right, let's put a round down. Actually, I'm just going to have a quick look in our forum. I'll be counting that. See if there's any of our Q&A questions which would be amusing for you to might try and answer on that one. When we hear a lot of us talking on the Retro Asylum and this and that, we are consistently giving US Gold a beatdown on, but technically how bad they are. But on the recent side of it, me and Malk have started looking for. Now, was it this really continuously US Gold's fault on this one? What's your opinion on US Gold?
Well, I remember you putting up videos and seeing that you're slagging off US Gold. I've got no respect for them. Anyway, they're on a big globalist company, but the programmers done the games. Beachhead, fucking classic game, eh?
Yeah, I will give to that one. I will definitely give on that one. Beachhead was a great game.
That, the planes coming flying at you for, what was that, 1984?
About then, yeah, 84, 85, sometime around
there. Aye, fucking amazing. It's a good game, eh? Beachhead 2 is a bit slack, eh? It's shite.
Mm.
Especially the second section where you've got all these tanks firing at you. Raid Over Moscow was a good game as well.
Yeah.
Bit difficult, but you can get through it. So they've got some good stuff. It's just like somebody saying Mastertronic or shite and all that. And, I mean, if I'm putting up a game and I think it's good, so I mean, I don't know. I've not put up. If I think a Mastertronic game or whatever shit, I'll say it. I don't know. But some of the, I'm not. I shouldn't be saying the companies there because they're nothing to do with it. It's the programs.
Okay then, Megan. I think that's enough for what we need there, mate. Okay then, mate. Right, I want to say big thank you for joining us on the show, sir. I think I'll be putting this on YouTube, on my channel, so everyone could drop by and listen to it, so that they can hear you talk about your experiences. And they're going to say, "I say, big thank you for joining us."
Well, thank you. And we've not even spoken a bit busy or anything.
Oh, it's been a great to actually speak to you as well on one of the best, one of the best people on YouTube, in my own honest opinion, for looking over on Spectrum. Anyway, okay, like I say, a big thank you to everybody who's listening. Big thanks to all the guys at Retro Asylum, and big thanks to all the YouTube fans out here. So it's a goodbye from me, ZX Specstar.
And it's goodbye from Spinny.